Hello and listen now. Wait a bit. Okay. Hello and good. Okay. Eventually, it's okay. Hello and good morning, guys. Sorry, good afternoon. Good afternoon from the headquarters of Rabin T Media. We're somewhere in Lagos, in the heart of Lagos. And today on Naija Founders, as usual, I have with me my colleague.
My name is Tino Adekunle, the brand and digital executive for Rabin T Media.
Alright, and today we're discussing what we discuss. In Naija Founders, we interview Nigerian founders who have attained a level of success in their business endeavors, and they'll be here to tell us and advise us on what upcoming founders, upcoming business owners, or upcoming SMEs can do to gain traction or leverage in the Nigerian business ecosystem. So today we have with us no other than Mr. Fela.
Fela.
Mr. Fela of
Salubata.
Salubata. So briefly, Mr. Fela, tell us about yourself. Go ahead.
Should I tell you about myself or the business?
Yourself and as you list the business.
Okay. My name is Fela Akinshe. I'm the creative director and CEO of the brand Salubata. I have worked as an environmental scientist a while ago and as a business analyst. I found a business, an opportunity in leather manufacturing. It could be really surprising that the leather industry in Nigeria contributes secondly to Nigeria's GDP after crude oil. And so it's one of these things we realize, and so that's why we're in the business. So we also realize that while we started Salubata, we used to buy things, shoes and stores from a co-market and resell them. And we got to a time where these guys started disappointing us, and a lot of customers started complaining. And there was a time the customer just wasn't enough. I said, so we could really brag about products and all, but we just started complaints from customers. Then just dawned on us that, man, I just feel we should just go into our own manufacturing. Let's start manufacturing our own products, because we cannot really vouch for what these guys produce. And so then we also realized that there was a time, okay, when I was in, I think, GSS1, and they used to sell belts then, like 150, 200. And there were some guys that came around, they were selling those belts for 2000. And people were buying them, and because they were leather. And so that stuck into me unknowingly. And so we saw an opportunity in leather manufacturing, and so we started doing our own, our own products. So like, while everybody was doing synthetics and all, we just talked to leather manufacturing. Although our products were more expensive than most people bought, we felt like we want to do something more sustainable, something of a global appeal.
Okay.
And so so that's why we are here. So at Salubata, we manufacture shoes, bags, anything leather.
All right, good. So according to what you said it began with, because you saw a need.
Yeah.
It was a need, it was a gap.
Yeah.
You mentioned leather belts at a point.
Yeah.
You mentioned that the people at Eco Market were disappointing.
Yeah.
So can you comfortably say that you're able to fill in that gap or that need?
Well, I would say that it's a continuous process.
Okay.
And for most of our customers now, okay, there was a time I used to talk about the bridge between the demand and supply.
Yes.
Of leather products.
Yes.
In Nigeria. So we produce a lot of leather raw materials. The likes of Gucci, Chanel, Versace come here to buy them, and they send back to us as finished products. So it's really very funny. And so I thought about it. So why can't we start producing these products using these authentic materials?
Yes.
To manufacture us? And so we've seen a kind of transformation where a lot of these people that purchase from the likes of Louis Vuitton, Versace, you know, keep buying from us. So let's try these guys. Let's see what they're doing. and automatically they stock it to us. There are some people that buy from Clarks and some other manufacturers abroad. So there's a kind of rewind, or let me say transformation. And so many of them now buy from us. But it's, like I said, it's still a continuous process. It's still not very significant because we still have some people that still buy outside the country, and we still feel that there's still a lot of marketing to be done. It's still a lot of people to be reached. Every time we even get into the advertisement, we still realize that there are new people. There are new people that even not even hear about Salibata itself. Like, we look at our impression on Facebook, and we saw that we have over 2 million impressions. And so we thought, okay, maybe we are popular enough. Whereas some people, to a lot of people, they're still very new to them. So there's still a lot of work in progress.
Okay, fine, good. All right, so what are the challenges they are facing now? Because I personally know that the Nigerian leather system is in trouble because, the Nigerian leather industry is in trouble because most of us are eating our leather. In form of Omo.
Yeah.
Omo is leather. And people are eating it. Instead of using it for the manufacture of shoes, bag, and the rest. So this poses, like that time, some years back, I heard that Nigeria eats like up to 1 billion naira worth of leather every year. In form of Omo. So that's a major challenge. So how are you coping as a person into leather business?
Well, that's funny to me anyway, because you know, I think it was last month I heard that the federal government wants to put a ban on people eating pomo and people selling pomo. They want to arrest this guy. So, but truly, that part to me is still not very significant.
Okay.
That's not the problem of leather. You know, I feel that the demand, yeah, for leather is still low.
Okay.
And there was a time I felt the supply was low.
Okay.
But now I realize that the demand is still low. And it's not that it's just low. And I realize that it's mainly because of the standard of living of people. So they cannot readily afford even the price. If the federal government puts a ban on leather products, a lot of people still be able to afford those products because leather is much more expensive than synthetics.
Okay.
And so if you go to a place like I went to Aba like March, and we're there, and so there's much hype on the Aba market itself. And by the time we got there, realized that these guys don't even do leather. They just do synthetics and they don't even care about what they produce. So I realized that the Aba guys send products to Eco Market. And that was how we started. And so a lot of those products are inferior.
Okay.
And so I would still really talk about the demand, the standard of living is still really affecting the leather business in Nigeria.
Let me cut you down there a bit, cut you off a bit. So the demand, are you saying local or international demand? Like I mentioned earlier, you said that people like all these foreign brands buy leather from us and now rebrand it or package it and sell it back to us. So are you saying demand is low? Is it for internationally or locally? What are you saying?
Well, locally. That's what I mean. Locally, the number of people that can still really afford. In fact, let me go back to the price, our own pricing.
Okay.
The number of people that can still really afford what we sell are still not very much.
Okay.
And we are very, very specific on the kind of people we target. So most of these guys are working class, and most of them are resident in maybe high-end areas in Lagos, or Abuja, or Port Harcourt.
Okay.
But, well, it's still really around the kind of market we want, but the demand is still very low, generally, locally. But globally, the demand on leather is really very high.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
The only questions for him.
Okay, you mentioned something about synthetic and leather.
Yeah.
Like, can you explain what the difference is?
Okay, well, synthetics are materials that are not leather anyway. They are not leather. So there are some forms of there are some there's a mixture of, there's a material that is being made that is a mixture of both synthetic and leather, but it's done through a chemical process, so it's not a genuine leather. And also for leather, there are different ranges of leather. There is a genuine leather, and genuine leather is not the highest grade of leather. There's genuine leather, there is bond leather. So it's just like having layers of the skin. And so those most of all those things, a lot of people say, when they say genuine leather, I only write genuine leather on top of maybe a product. Somebody just feel like, man, I bought a very nice leather. Whereas that's still like the second grade of leather. There are like four different grades. And that's just like second grade. So there's bond leather, there are some leather with what's it called? They call them grain. So there's full grain, there's grain. So there are some other products that have been used that are synthetics, like that made from rubber.
Okay.
And some other products here.
Quick question again. So how can a layman differentiate between genuine leather and synthetic leather? How does one know?
Okay. There are so many tests that have been carried out. So there is the fire test. So some people could use a lighter or fire.
And burn products for the bite.
A leather will not burn.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay.
And if it burns, it will not really. The smell is just like burning your skin.
Okay.
So if you burn it, just like burning a calf or a cow.
Okay.
So the smell that comes is smell of an animal.
Okay, but how? So that means. You as a buyer, you could go around with lighter things so how can, so like a point of sale now, like a point of sale, or a point of purchase, how can I know this is fake leather or real leather without burning it? Is there any other way else I can know?
Well, there are other ways. Well, I was trying to talk about the different grades of leather.
Yes.
There are some materials that are made to look like leather.
Okay.
There are some imprints to like the skin, the crocodile skin. So there are machines that have been used to impress those synthetic products that make them look like leather.
Okay.
Or even there are some leather materials that machines have been used on to make them feel like they are some of crocodile skin, whereas they are just normal calf skin.
Okay.
So the what I mean here is that, if you go into the market and you want to probably get a product, aside from the fire test, I think sighting also.
Yes.
So it's just like you. I talked about the impression on it.
Yes.
Those impression, you just need to really look into them well before, because if you have a calf skin, you will see have some level of maybe kind of air on it.
Okay.
Before there's some like the bond leather now is all clean, you won't know.
Okay.
It's like the lowest grade of leather.
Okay.
But there are still ways to also really know about that. And also leather doesn't get squeezed easily.
Okay.
So unlike those other materials, it doesn't really. That's why some of those. If you go to a place like Yawana,
yes,
I think when. When I was in school then, there were Yaba boys that used to show, they would bend all those things, and most of those things, they're just camps. So they don't do all those things. And maybe when you try to also bend it yourself, they won't allow you to bend it because they knew you'd destroy it.
Okay.
So the leather doesn't destroy, just like your skin.
Okay.
It doesn't really readily destroy in time.
Okay.
So unlike the synthetics, that if you try to bend them, they just retain the bend.
How about smell? Does smell play a factor?
Yes, smell plays a major part too. But there are some polishes after, there are some finishing processes that might just hide those smells. So smell might not just be a very good way to
go about it.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So finally, what are the solutions to the challenges that you're facing? What's a major solution that you think that will help the leather industry, that will help people who are into leather, the leather business as yourselves, to scale or to thrive?
Okay, I would say that most of these things actually come from first the intention, because a lot of people lie to customers.
Okay.
They tell the customer that they use 100% leather, whereas For us, we use, like for our shoes, we use leather soles. Okay. And for the outsoles too, we use the uppers, we use all leather.
Okay.
And so we are, I think that's one of the reasons we've still been able to retain some level of trust.
Okay.
From a lot of customers. I think for a lot of startups or starters, they really need to be genuine with what they promise.
Okay.
And so over time, because some people just want to cut costs, some people just want to probably use a rubber sole with a leather end. And whereas the customer might not even know immediately,
okay.
But maybe along the way, they just realize that, man, this thing is fake. Or maybe if you do something genuine, they will know. So they might not even know immediately. It might just be someone else that will point out that, man, it's really cool. Another problem with a lot of people is that they want to copy designs. They want to copy what people have done. And I think that's even a bigger problem, because if you are not doing something, so you don't have to do something extremely crazy or out of it, but do something that, like the designers, like let's even go back a bit to those fashion designers, like a lot of them are still really hustling hard because they produce things that people don't need and people cannot really readily sell. So aside trying to make something that would readily sell in the market,
yes,
then you need to be unique. Like there's a product we make now. It's called Mamba. And those Mamba, they are unwoven. So we are the only one doing that in Nigeria.
Okay.
And so the demand is really very high. It's our best selling product to date. And so if you are a newbie or maybe a newcomer in the market, I believe you need to really change your approach to things.
Okay.
That you don't just come and do what other people have done.
Okay. Fine.
And do what assess the market and see the response before you launch.
Awesome. Thank you. So finally, final words. What's your advice for anybody, an upcoming SME, who is into or getting into the leather industry or business? What's your advice?
Well, over time we've been able to evolve into other things aside just leather. Like we are partly into tech, and we are also partly into social enterprise.
Okay.
So I feel that innovation is really very important. So you can't just come and stay where you are. They will always beat you out of the game. And so there are a lot of things that happen to our business that we don't even tell people, but they feel like just around the leather. But it's more than that. So I think there are a lot of background work that needs to be done than just what people see. And so I would strongly advise that if you are in an SME or so, you need to really change your approach to how you need to study trends. Like we at Salvador, we study trends a lot. Like we study global trends about what's really, really happening on the globe, and do things around those areas. And you see that a lot of things just materialize. So yeah, leather is good, but we realize that over time the market will still like it was just really funny when I just laughed when they said they wanted to put a man on Mama eating. And I feel like that's not the solution. And I feel more people should do things that would make the world more sustainable. Because like we like I said earlier, like people don't really study trends. You need to study trends. When you study trends, then try and do things around those trends, then things will work out.
All right, awesome. Any final questions? Or let you want to ask you? All right, so thank you very much, Mr. Fela, for being here.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to having you in further subsequent episodes in the near future.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so from all of us at Rabin Team Media, I remain Okemi Nyotun, the collaboration expert and J2 strategist. Closing words. All right, guys, have a fantastic day.
All right.